Today's daf is daf kuf mem hei, and we were still in the middle of a sugya here, where we had a fascinating contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braita as to what the din is in terms of shushbinut. Now you remember that shushbinut are gifts that are given in the context of a best man who's attending somebody's wedding, and it's given with the understanding that when he himself gets married, those gifts are going to be coming back to him. We could also be talking about a father's marrying off a son. And then his friend gives him gifts to defray the cost of the wedding, and then he's supposed to give those gifts back. Also, in cases where it involves the actual simcha at a wedding, it has special din, and we're going to get into what those special din are later today. But in any event, what the Mishnah had stated was, the pashtas, that if brothers now are going to be getting back shushbinut after they had given shushbinut when the father was alive. So that the minute the father had sent shushbinut with them, who were b'sameach, their friends at the friend's wedding. So then, after the father dies, they go now and get married, and the money is now sent back, since the maizit came from the father. So when it comes back to all of the brothers. That's what we thought the meaning was in the Mishnah. We found in our Braita that's not true. That actually, if the father had sent shushbinut when he was alive, when it comes back, it goes back to that specific child. So there's a question how to understand that Mishnah. So one of the approaches that we said yesterday was very, very difficult to fit into the Mishnah. We sort of shoehorned it into the Mishnah. It was talking about the opposite direction. It's talking about where the money was now going back out of the estate, which would fit the Braita. The other explanation that we had was very straightforward. The other explanation was that there's a difference between a case where the father sends the shushbinut along with a specific son, and that son is supposed to be the one who represents the family to this stranger, so to speak, to the family, who's getting married. So he is the specific shushbin. And since it was defined in that way, the money that comes back, the father wanted it to come back to that son. Mashenka, the Mishnah is talking about a case with Stam. He just left the gift on the kitchen table, and he said, whoever gets a chance to go out, should take it. So if he wasn't mefarish specifically what son it is, when the gifts come back, so then they're coming back to the estate. That was a simple explanation. Today, we have a rather complex explanation that takes all kinds of other things into consideration, which are halachas lemaisa that we're going to talk about in terms of the dinim of shushbinut later. So Shmuel Amar, that the case over here is, we're dealing with a yavam. Hacha b'yavim, yavam askina. And the chiddush is, the case is exactly as we thought it was. That the father sent it, and he sent it with a specific son. It's not that a bright that comes now to give a different case than the Mishnah, that you should say that one is talking about Stam, and one is talking about Farish. It's not true. It's exactly the same case. Father sends shushbinut with one of his sons, so in Achinami, it comes back to that son. So then why does the Mishnah say that it's chozeret le'emtza? It's talking about that son died. So since that son now over here died and left his wife childless, now comes along his other brother, let's say Reuven dies now, and Shimon has married his wife, is he supposed to be getting all of the things that Reuven would have received as the Yerusha, because he's the one, meaning the one who takes the place, he's the one that's going to be able to get the Yerusha. In this case, when the Shushbinut comes back, and it was meant to his brother, doesn't go to Shimon.
No, he was married, so Shimon should have came to him by his marriage.
What do you mean by his marriage?
He left the Yavam, was married.
Yeah, but it has to be talking about that into the Nisun yet. Well, so we're going to get into the question of what happened. I mean, that's exactly what the Gemara is going to deal with. But what we'll have to assume is that the marriage that he gave the Kedushin, died after the Kedushin, and that's what we're assuming is the case. The Gemara is going to refine it later. Dies after the Kedushin. Shimon goes ahead now and marries his Yavama. And now the guy is going to be sending back the money. Now, the question is, of course, why is he sending back the money? But that we'll talk about. When he's sending back the money, it doesn't go to Shimon. It goes to all the brothers because it was Roy. And a Yavam is the other case. We know two other cases where there's no din of taking Baroi Kibumukzak. One of them is the Bechor for the Chelek HaBechora. Does not take Baroi Kibumukzak, only takes what's actually there at the time of death, not debts that are due to be collected. And we know that a Baal in an Isha is only Neitel, also the Muxik, Lo Bera'ui. So if she now inherits after her death, it doesn't go to the Baal, it goes to her heirs. And the other case is a Yavam. When the Yavam takes the place of the husband, his brother, he does not take as his Chelek of the Yavam the things that come in afterward. Obviously, he's one of the brothers, so he gets it as one of the brothers, but he doesn't get entirely the chelik of the brother. That chelik of the brother is also split between the other brothers. So in this case, the Mishnah is coming to tell me that the gifts, the shushbinut that comes in, is split to everybody because of the fact that he's enonot to barakim u'mozik. Now, the mice, obviously, this is a trick for the Mishnah to create a case like this, because it forces us to think through what the dinim are, legabe, the debt of shushbinut under such a conditions. Because the guy could say, the point of shushbinut is not to give you money back. The point of shushbinut is to be misameach at the wedding. And if you're dead, how am I supposed to be misameach at your wedding? So I'm perfectly happy for you to come back to life, and then we'll dance at your wedding, and I'll give you the money. But you can't be tovea me if you went and died. Who told you to go and die? So how am I supposed to have fun at your wedding? So therefore, ask the Gemara the obvious question, which you've been asking. Let the guy say, what do you mean? I should give the money back to him? Where's the guy, my best man? He goes and dies on me. So therefore, how am I supposed to give it back to you? You'll say, what kind of taina is that? No, of course it's a taina. Milo taina, we see halacha lemaisa this taina. Mokam shenagu la'achzir kedushin machziri. Mokam shenagu shalo la'achzir kedushin. In Machzirin. So here we have a question where somebody gives Kiddushin, very common situation. Somebody gives a ring, and now this ring is worth a lot of money. And this is a diamond ring. It's not the chuppah. Let's give a diamond ring.
Engagement.
What we call engagement, but then we have to say specifically it's not meant for Kiddushin. But so this guy gives a diamond ring for an engagement ring, which is really engagement, venerison. And then we'll see what the cases are, but then the marriage is canceled. Does the ring go back or not? Very common situation. So the din is over there. That's dependent on the minigam okam. So if it's a place where people are machzir, so then you're machzir. Now Rav Yosef Bar Ava explained in the name of Marukva, in the name of Shmuel, that lo shonu ela shemeta hi. So this is where it was her fault. So if it was her fault, who told her to die? So then, in such a case, it's dependent now in the minhag. But if he goes and dies, so then she doesn't have to give it back, because she can tell, you know, who told you to die? I'm waiting for the marriage. So give me my husband, and why should I give it back? So if that's the case, that means that the shushbinim should have exactly the same time. He should be able to say, I'm being ma'akev, adarabah, the money's right here. No, where is he that we should make the wedding? So it certainly shouldn't be less of a taina than the case of the bittul of a marriage. Says Rav Yosef, the guy actually had married. And he died during the Shever Brochus. That was the problem. So right after the Shever Brochus, he dies. And he was, that's when he was going to bring him the gift. They're settling down into the house, and the guy goes and drops dead. Though he speak, lift war, oh, atchemet. So over there, he can't taina that, where's the guy? I want to be misameach. What do you mean, where's the guy? You were misameach. The only thing that was left is that you're supposed to give the gift. Okay? So that you didn't give. So that will be chozer to the yorshim. So now the question is the yavam going to take it? The mashmalan, it's considered to be ro'ui, and he's not neitel, it's chozer l'amtza. And that's what the Mishnah was coming to address. Now this shaila of whether you can actually say, tnuli ba'ali v'esmachimo, and that would be a sufficient taina not to have to give back the diamond ring, lamaisa seems to be, says the Gemara, amachloka tanoi. Lema tnuli ba'ali v'esmachimo is tanoi the taina. Hame'ares et ha'isha. Somebody goes now and has erisin with a woman, and then what happens is the guy, now we'll see exactly the case, but we're assuming that something happens, he divorces her. So he's mechuyev now to pay the ketubah, or he goes and he dies. Okay. So in such a case, if she's a petula, if there was a ketubah, so then, I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be a ketubah, as we said. But if this guy wrote a ketubah out at the shah of the erisin, so then he would pay for the betula mataim, for the almana mana. Now, where this gets complicated is if he had already given her a diamond ring that was worth part of the value of the ketubah, more than the value of the ketubah. So that's the question. Can she be tovah the ketubah plus, or do we deduct it? How exactly would that work? Continues now the bride to say, Makom shenahagu la'achzir kiddushin ma'achzirin. So if it's a place where she would be have to, people had a minute to give back the kiddushin, so we'd have to deduct that value of the kiddushin. Makom shenahagu shelo la'achzir kiddushin ein ma'achzirin. Divrei Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says a very strange thing, which seems to simply repeat what it was that Rabbi Natan said. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, be'emet amru, makom shenahagu la'achzir ma'achzirin, makom shenahagu shelo la'achzir ma'achzirin. So he sort of repeats back to Rabbi Natan, word for word, what Rabbi Natan said. So what's the machlokas? This is the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, hayna tana kama. Must be that there is a hidden machlokas here in the Braita that we're supposed to fill in. So what would that be? So elolav, it's talking about this issue, that the machlokas between them is whether you can say, tnuli ba'aliv es machimo ikabinai. How do you fit that in? It'll have to be chisura mechasra. There's a piece clearly that's missing, because otherwise, I mean, it's absurd for somebody to say back the same words. So this is the way that we should read it. Hamarezit aisha betulago v'amataim, amanamana. So far, so good. That's what we said. Now, insert these words. When do we say that there's the question of the return of the Kedushim b'midvarim amurim, dohadar be'ihu? This is only where he was the one who was goring that they shouldn't get married. So in other words, he goes ahead and he divorces her. So in that case, she will be notelet her ktuva and the kiddushin. Now, we're not going to talk about dying yet, because there we want to contrast his death with her death. But obviously, the same thing would be true if he died. It doesn't matter to him. It's just that it's his fault. Avometa, if she died, so then it depends on the minute. Makom shenagu la'achzir ma'achzirin. Makom shenagu shelo la'achzir ein ma'achzirin. But dafka in a case where it was meta, avo metu in machzirin. All of this is in the words of Rabbi Nos. My taima yicholahi shetomat nuli ba'ali v'esmachimo. So if he goes ahead and dies, then she doesn't have to give back the ring, because she can say, I am fully prepared to get married. As a matter of fact, I love for him to show up at the wedding. He just refuses to come back to life. So Mamela, the Rabbi Natan, the Tanakama over here holds that in a case where it's his fault that he's not getting married, so she can tell him, I'm ready, why isn't he showing up? In which case, we had the argument that Gabi Shishpinut as well. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda to say, no, Be'emet Amru, this is a klal under any and all circumstances, Bein Meitu, Bein Meitahi, Makom Shenagu La'achzir Ma'achzirin, Makom shenagu shelo la'achzir ein ma'achzirin. It's fully dependent on the minag and the taina of where's my husband, I'm fully prepared to marry him, is not considered to be a taina. V'lo matzi amra tenuli ba'aliv esmachimo. Otherwise, what is the issue between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda? It's the only issue we can think of. So if you all, that you have this taina to say tenuli ba'aliv, then you have to limit the case of the minag only to where she doesn't have that taina. If you hold that you can't taina that, and it's not meaningful, it isn't an issue of fault, it's just a question of what was the kedushin given with the understanding of. So in a makom where the minhag is that the understanding is that if the kedushin doesn't go through, that you give back the ring, fine. If it's in a place where it's viewed as something that you don't give back, so then you don't give back, and that's all there is to it. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is coming to say, no, be'emet amru, as they say in any and all circumstances, that's not law. Makom shenagu, and makom shenagu. Very reasonable explanation. I mean, since we're going to have to put something into this bright and have it make sense, that's a very interesting explanation. Makes a great deal of sense. And l'maisa, tainas Rabbi Yosef, l'chora, that should be part of it, huh? Says the Gemara, who says? You're looking for something to stick in. There's other things that are certainly issues over here. Maybe the Kulei Alma Yechola Shetomar Tenuli Ba'ali Ves Machimo. Maybe everybody would agree that she could taina such a thing. V'demitu Kulei Alma Lo Pligi. In a case where he goes ahead and he dies, there's no question that she can taina. Where's my husband? I want to get married. Dafke, the machloket is a different machloket. It's talking about that she went ahead and died. So, ki pligi de shemetahi. And there's another machloket here, and that is, hacha bekidusha letibu'in nitnu kamiflige. The question over here is, how do we view kiddushin? Is kiddushin in its essence viewed as something that is given in order to sink into the ground forever, so to speak? In other words, it's my investment in the future, and it includes not the fact that you need to get married, But any and all risks, and it's an understanding that it's given to you, and that's all there is to it. And if you're going to die, no, there's no way for me to get it back. So that's the machlokas. So Rabbi Natan savar kiddushin lav letibu initno, and Rabbi Yonasi savar kiddushin ar letibu initno. And this is not in any way relevant to the question of whether an isha can taina that it's I want my husband. You'll say, what do you mean? But if you're telling me kiddushin is letibuin and lav letibuin, why are we talking about mokum shenagu? You're saying mi ikra din etzdeu kiddushin. Did I read the Brighter wrong? The Brighter says, Makam Shinago Lachzir Machzirin Katana. You're throwing in an issue that makes that irrelevant. Yeah, that it's dependent. No. That's Hochi Komar. There's two levels in this Brighter. And the truth is, this is the real reason that we would prefer this explanation. Because there's one Nakuda that we haven't addressed. If you take a look carefully at the language of the Braita, there's a difference between what Rabbi Natan says and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says that we never pointed out. What Rabbi Natan said was that Mokam Shenagu Lachzir Kiddushin Machzirin, Mokam Shenagu Shelo Lachzir Ein Machzirin. But look at what Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, Be'met Amru Mokam Shenagu Lachzir Machzirin. There's one word missing. He doesn't say, Makom Shenagu Lachzir Kiddushin Machzirin. Why didn't he say that? That's the only discernible difference between them. So if you're going to say something's missing in the Braita, it's got to be something that explains that missing word. Therefore, what we're going to put into the Braita is not the question of whether it's, did he die or did, that isn't the issue. What we're going to put in is the issue of Savlanut, which gets us back to what we were questioning before. There's two separate issues here. The truth is there's many different issues. It's kedai to mention now that there are a number of different types of gifts that get involved in these complex halachas. So we have, first of all, the ketubah itself, obviously, which is a commitment. We have gifts that are given that ultimately become part of the ketubah and they're written up. And those are called mohar. They're outside of the ketubah. He sends them early, but they're then added into the shtar ketubah later, after the nisuin. There are gifts that are given, stop, between chatan and kala, with the understanding that there'll be a marriage. You give the kala a watch. What's the din of that watch? It's not there in order to create, or nowadays you give a diamond ring as an engagement, not in order to create. It wouldn't make any difference in terms of our Gemara's talking about after Erisin, between Erisin and Nisuin. We don't do a separate Erisin until the actual time of the Nisuin to avoid problems. But Lamaisa, if you did the Erisin, any gifts in between have a din of Savlonut, they're called. These are the expected gifts that are exchanged. So that is what is hidden over here. Kiddushin itself is definitely letibui. So whatever the kiddushin was, that's meant to be permanent. Now, after the kiddushin, you went ahead and sent the golden watch. You know, there's always this minhagim. You're supposed to send different things. I don't know what it is nowadays. Maybe sometimes it was pearl necklaces. It changes according to the fad. But in any event, whatever those savlonut are, that is what Rabbi is referring to. Emet amru, that the savlonut themselves is a different issue. So the mokum shenogu lachzir machzirin katani means achikama. When it comes to savlonut, as opposed to the kiddushin, which is latibuin, so there vadai mokum shenogu lachzir machzirin. Whereas this is good for the machloket. So Rabbi Yehuda says kiddushin, I'm not going to talk about, and he leaves out that word because he holds that indeed it's not dependent on the mokum shenogu lachzir. But be'emet amru, when it comes to the question of savlonut, that's vadai, it depends, mokum shenogu lachzir, etc. So now we have a very good explanation of the machlokes because it follows the wording. And also, it doesn't involve us in the issue of whether you have a right to taina to nuli at Bali. Everybody's invited to that taina.
After.
And don't think that this is like such a creative explanation, because we know that there's such a machlok. Because then it would be hanitanoi, kanitanoi. Titania, kicha bikikar. I don't care if the guy gave her a kikar full of kesef. A kikar of kesef now is either 25 money, it depends. The Gemara elsewhere says shishi money, or the Rosh Bam says 25 is not a discussion what he's referring to, why 25, but in any event, if it would be 25 money, then it's 25 times more than an almonis ksuva, 12 and a half times more than a psulis ksuva. And nonetheless, the betula will take matayim v'amana mana. Tain is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yudomer, Betula gova matayim v'almana manu machzeret lo etashar. She deducts the amount of ketuva from the 2,500 that she received, but she gives back the other 2,400, the almana. Rabbi Yossi says, well, actually, it depends on the case. So if kiksha be'esrim, let's say that he would have given her, now this doesn't make any sense right now, but we're going to talk about it in the Gemara. If he had given her now kedushin of 20, so then he would pay, he would now noten la shloshim chatzayim. He now owes her only 30 halves. We'll see why he uses that funny language instead of simply saying 15. But obviously there's a question of your mamon hamutal b'safek cholkin. I mean, you recognize immediately that's what's going on. See, they'll have to be mashlim her the ktuva. If he gave her shloshim, noten la esrim chatzayim. Now, getting back to the beginning, I'd like to understand what the case is over here. And then we can see that this machloket has got to be the issue that I said it was. So, b'mayaskinan, ilema shemeta. What are we talking about? That she dies. If she dies, what, she has a ketubah? What are we talking about a ketubah? So obviously a ketubah is only if he dies or if he divorces her. Ve'ela shemet hu? I thought that you said everybody agrees that she can tie now. Where's my husband? I want to get married. So if he ups and dies, why does she have to give him anything back going to anybody? I thought we said, v'neima t'nuli bali v'smachimo, that she can tie now. I'm perfectly willing to get married. He keeps refusing to show up. No answer on his cell phone. Doesn't even return my emails. Ve'ela, it's got to be talking about that there's a problem. Okay, and the problem is not his problem. So let's see, what's it talking about? An Eshet Yisrael, Shezinta. So she was Mizana. What is that supposed to mean? So, B'mai, Iberatzon. I mean, what if she was Mizana? She doesn't get a ketuvah. Mi'ila ketuvah. If she was raped, so then why does she get divorced? Mishra Sharila. He wants a divorce. It's a regular divorce. Ela, it's got to be talking about an Eshet Kohen Shene'ensa. Ah, so here we have a problem. The Kohen is not allowed to remain married to her because she was raped. On the other hand, he didn't. It's not his fault. So he's put into a position where he has to give her a divorce. So the question over here is, does the Kedushin now go towards the Ketubah, or is it a completely separate issue? So it must be that they're arguing, therefore, be Kedushin litubuin nitukam yiflege. Rabbi Meir Savar, no. The Ketubah is the Ketubah straight up. 200, 100, as the case may be. And Kedushin? The Kedushin is given permanently. That's the Tubuin Nitnu. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, love the Tubuin Nitnu. And Rabbi Yossi, he says, look, I don't know. It could be that it's the Tibuin. It could be it's Lav the Tibuin. Therefore, it turns out to be Mamon HaMutal B'Safek. So therefore, I say, let them split the difference, basically. So let's say if he was Kitsha Be'esrim. So he had given her now 20 shekel, right? So he gave her 20 shekel. So that means that he had given her now 80 zuz. If he had done that, so now he owes her, so he gets an almana, 100. So let's deduct half of the 80. So that's 20. That's 40. So what did I say? Let's start again. 80, 40, deducts, owes her 60. Right? Okay. So if that's the case, notin la shloshim chatzayim, so he gives her 30 half shekels, which is the 60 that he owes her. If he was bekadosh b'shloshim, so then that's 120. If it's 120, then we apply half of that, that's 60. Means he owes her another 40. So then he now gives her 20 halves, which is another 40. And that's all he's saying. It's moment amot b'safek chalukin. So notina esrim chatzaim. So you see over here that lamaisa there is such a machlokas. Kiddushin is l'tibuin. So now everything is very clear. In the previous case, the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Natan was whether kiddushin is l'tibuin. And therefore the language was very, very clear. Rabbi Natan said the kiddushin is dependent in the minhag. If it's dependent in the minhag, it can't be the mikra. Then it's l'tibuin. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the Kedushin, that's farfal. Be'emet amru. If there is a question of the gifts that she got, does she have to return the gifts? That's dependent in the Midrash HaMakom. Amr Rabbi Yosef Ben Yumi, Amr Rabbi Nachman. Now, our gears over is B'chol Makom, Shenogu L'Achzir Machzirim. It's a little bit strange. Probably the correct Gersa is the Dito Gersefen, right? That Bovel Kim Makom. Yeah, that many times. That Bovel has a din of a Makom Shenogu L'Achzir Machzirim, and V'tirgama, that means Nardo. And that's why it follows very clearly that the next question is, okay, but Nardo is not the whole Bovel. So what about the rest of Bovel, Mai? Otherwise, you'd have to learn the way that, it's a little schleppy approach that they read into Rabbeinu Gershon, that bichol makom, meaning any area, near an area, that had a minhag, that's if Nardo had such a minhag, so in every area around it didn't have its own particular minhag, follows Nardo, which is very strange. If you just change that little word, that little base, so then it ends up being something we've seen many times, that Bavel is ke'ex legabe. Why? That's what's saying over here. So Bavel, and this issue is Kamokum Shinogulahs. How about the rest of Bavel, Mai? Rabbi Rabbiyezi Damar Tarvayo, Mohari Hadre. Now, in terms of the dinim that we're looking at, as I said before, Mohar is a different issue. But in terms of this halacha, it's the equivalent of Sivlonas. Because early stage Mohari that aren't listed in the Ketubah are basically Sivlonas. So we have the exchange of the shushbinut at the time of the wedding. That has nothing to do with the woman. We have the different nechosim that are listed in the ketuvah. Nechsei melug, nechsei tzom barza. We have the sivlonut. We have the value of the ketuvah. And we have the mohari. So each one of them has, and of course the kesef kedushin, each one of them has different dinim. So the din is that the halacha would be legabe mohari, which is the equivalent of the sivlonut, are definitely hadre, kedushi is lo hadre. So that in Bavel, that's the way we handle it. Kedushin is considered to be a permanent thing. The mohari, that's the equivalent of savlonis, is given back. Omer of Papa, the halacha is, ben shemetu, ben shemetahi, v'hadar behu, mohari hadre, kedushi lo hadre. In any case where somebody died, whether it was he or she, or it was a charata, and from him, he wants to divorce her now and clear the din of the harrison. So the din over there is the kedushin is not hadra. Hadra ba'ihi, however, if she refuses to go through with the marriage, then in that case, she'd have to get back even the kedushin. So afshilu kedushin name hadra. A Maimar says, no, even in that case, the kedushin is not hadra. He says, well, that's outrageous. The guy gives her a diamond ring. She decides, no, I'm not going through the wedding. And so she shouldn't have to give it back, or it's clearly given to her al-das. But, okay, the question, the chelik of the kedushin, the shavar pruta is a shavar pruta. That could be dependent in the tibuin, but by the ring. So why wouldn't have to give back? Taina is a Maimar because of Gzera. If people see her giving back the ring, they will think that it was a kedushin ta'ut. If it's a kedushin ta'ut, then they may come to be matir, the kedushin of the sister. But Lamaise, he really was married. And therefore, in order to avoid a problem of arayot, so therefore we can't allow him to get back the diamond ring. So therefore, he says, Gzera, shamir ha-kedushin tofsim ba'achotah, people may say that it's a good kedushin on the sister. Now, Lamaise is a little bit strange. Because as Rav Ashi says, what do you mean? The woman has a get. She's only returning the ring because she has a get. Gita mochikale, no. But if there's a get, so then people know that she's a divorcee. They understand if she's a divorcee, how could it possibly be mutter in the lifetime of a sister to marry a sister? So who would come to make such an idiotic mistake? No. Other Rav Ashi Bedute, what Rav Ashi is saying is a mistake. Because certainly it's possible, tika de shama baha, velo shama baha. But everybody has to know that she was a divorcee. I mean, isn't it more obvious to people the fact that she had to give back that beautiful ring that everybody was talking about? So they may not know anything about the get. Of course, this itself is strange because he knows, no? No, who would make the gzera for? But this guy is going to, the guy who married her is going to go marry the sister, knowing that he had given her a divorce and that the giving back the ring was irrelevant? That's crazy. I mean, what are we cheshish for? Unless, if he's going to do something like that, he's not going to come to Bezlin to discuss it. He knows what he's doing. So he's doing something wrong, you know? So the question is like this. How about if he would, like this, everybody would know. But how about if he goes ahead really and he does do that? Suppose he goes ahead and he marries his sister. So now everyone will think, must be, that it was Kedushei Ta'ut. Because they don't know about the get. If it was Kedushei Ta'ut, so then he's got a right to marry the sister. But suppose meanwhile somebody else had given kedushin to the sister. So they'll say to the somebody else, your kedushin was a toifish, it's an eshesish. So they'll come to be matir, arayas, meaning not the arayas of achot ishto, but the arayas of eshesish, thinking that she's a married woman. But she's not a married woman, because the guy that she's married to is staying with her completely illicitly, because she's really the sister of his wife that he divorced. So Mamela, in order to avoid such a thing, says Amemar, that you can't have cases where we return Kedushin so publicly and cause people to get confused as to whether Kedushin would be Chal on the Achot. The next thing we saw in the Mishnah was a discussion about the nature of Shushbinut.
So she said the Lysa, that after
after a divorce.
So what we said in the Mishnah was that Shushbinut has a din of collection in court. Tana Rabbanan, once we raise the issue of Shushbinut and its din, the fact is there's chamisha dvarim nemru b'shushbinut. There's five very important halachas said about Shushbinut. First of all, as the Mishnah said, it's nigbei b'beidin. Now, if it's nigbei b'beidin, so then that means that it is essentially a loan, and it's recoverable. But it's only, the second din is, it's only chozer ba'onatam. It only is due when the chatan, when the person that had given the shushbinut becomes now a chatan, so the other person now owes him. But it's certainly not in general a debt that's due. You can't be toveya et stam. You can only be toveya et if the guy gets married. Furthermore, ein ba mishum ribit. Fascinatingly, if you give back, let's say, double the amount of the shushbinut, so when the other guy gets married, the gift that was given to him was twice the value of the other gift. Doesn't matter. Normally, we're so makpid, even in borrowing a bottle of milk, right? We're worried about sa'a b'sa'a. In the case of shushbinut, it's clear that what we're talking about is the exchange of gifts, not the exchange of loans. So despite the fact that you may be able to be toveya the value of the gift, the entire setting of the giving of shushbinut is in terms of the feelings that are involved at a wedding. So in the same way that we're matir for a Talmud Chacham, let's say, to be magzir something, and it should not be in das, davribit, because it's clear to him this is something that I would give completely outside of the context of the loan. When it comes to shushbinut, everybody is that way. Because what I'm doing is I'm responding to his marriage. I'm not thinking about exactly how much he gave, and I'm giving more because it took so long. That's not what I'm thinking. I'm just responding to the simcha. And therefore, in such a case, there's no problem bichlal of ribit. Furthermore, in hashvi'it mishamatata. If there was a shmita in between the wedding of the first guy and the wedding of the second guy, who's supposed to now get it, so okay, so now I don't give it to you because if it's a loan and recoverable in court, then shmita was mishamated. No, shmita is not mishamated. And furthermore, as we said in the Mishnah, in abochir notel pishnayim, the way Shmuel understood the Mishnah, that was another one of the dinim that the Mishnah was saying. And it was referring to a case of a Yavam, so too that it's Roik of a Musik, so Bemele it follows that a Bechor won't be not about Pishnaim either. So it has a din of Choseret Laemtza. No, it's a loan, but it's a loan that's only due under these circumstances, as we saw. And we're going to go through it right now, every one of these things. Okay, let's take it from the top, says the Gemara. Nikbeit bebeitin. Why? My timer, because we view it as a loan. Kamil vadamia. But nonetheless, surprisingly, ain't ba mishum ribit. Why? Since it was never given with the thought of how much is going to come back, and he's not giving him now this money, al daita, that it's ribit, he could do whatever he wants, really. He just feels that he wants to give him because he's happy at the wedding. So there's no context of ribit that could be applied here. Because since over here you cannot collect it until onata, so if shvi'is comes between onata and the original gift, so it's the equivalent of somebody who makes a loan for 10 years. Where shvi'is is not mishamed, because there was no lo yigos in between. And the only time shvi'is is mishamed is where the person could have been no geis, meaning he could have come to court, and it's telling you, no, you're not able to come to court, so maybe let's cancel. But if anyway you're not able to come to court, because it's shalom onata, so then shvi'is is not mishamed. Furthermore, a bechor is not notel pishnayim. Why? As we said in the Mishnah according to Shmuel, it's ro'ui, and in a bechor notel, ro'ui, kibbumu chizak. Omer if kahana. The deal is, in general, that since the onata of the chiyuv of the shushbinut is when the guy gets married, then this is a chiyuv on him to show up to the wedding. He can't say, well, I didn't come to the wedding, so the melai wasn't involved in the simcha, so I didn't bring the shushbinut. Because the klal is, if he's in town, havi b'mata, iboile lameta. If he was in town when the guy got married, so then he should have shown up, and then you can go to court to recover it. And he can't tie now, I didn't show up. Now the question is, did he get an invitation? Oh, this is a major problem. You know all the songs about the wedding bells are ringing? You think that's a church? No. But then is, if he heard the wedding bells, amazing, right? So if he's in town and the wedding bells are ringing, so Shamar Kol Tabla, so here's the wedding bells, so then he should have found out that it's his friend who's getting married, and he should have showed up. Because then they were inviting people by ringing the wedding bells. But now, how about Lo Shama Kol Tabla? And he should have gotten an invitation. He should have made sure that he got an invitation. So now the question is, if the guy didn't get an invitation, okay, so then obviously he's angry. So then, he has a right to be angry at the guy. You didn't even invite me to the wedding. So now I'm mechuyev to give you a gift? What, are you crazy? So over there, he can say, shalumi meshalim. You certainly can't expect me to give you a gift if you don't bother sending me an invitation. So that's for sure. He has a right to taina. The question is, what is that worth? So in other words, I mean, he gave him a $10,000 gift, and this guy's saying, well, I'm angry, you didn't send me an invitation, so I don't owe you anything. I mean, I understand that there could be some level of deduction, but how much can you deduct for not getting an invitation? This is great. All about best of friends in Jewish life. So, how much do you deduct for this tar-omet? Is it measurable? Vat kama. Omer Rabbi, look, I mean, the truth is that this is really a function of the way society has developed, right? So it's just sort of the way things go. So you should know that Nogu B'nei Ginana, I mean, in terms of the way that people act at a wedding, so there's this, first of all, there's like that first smorgasbord, but not Israeli smorgasbord, not American smorgasbord. As they go around with a couple of little hors d'oeuvres beforehand, I mean, everybody gets the hors d'oeuvres, right? So, okay, so that's like the first layer. So, ad zuza, basically a guy who brings a gift of a zuz, that's what he ate. So, aite bekabi brings it in his hands, and it fills his stomach. That's really the deal. So, achle bekarse, whatever he brought, that's what he ate. For that kind of gift, that's what he ate at the original hors d'oeuvres. Now, yeah, so okay, so that's vadai. I mean, he can deduct because he had a right to eat that. I mean, everybody gets that. That certainly comes off of the gift that he should have been given. This is very bottom line oriented. Okay, so that he takes off. Now, if you give a gift up to four zuz, okay, so ad arba. So now let's say that there was the shushpinut was four zuz. So over there, the din would be that he's going to be getting, since he would have been getting had he gotten an invitation, a better serving, because, I mean, he deserves a little bit more than the hors d'oeuvres if he's bringing. So in that case, he would pay, half of it would go really over here to the food that he never got. And since he didn't eat that, so he could take off half of it because the guy saved money by not sending him the invitation. So that is measurable tar-omet. Now, beyond that, okay, it really is very much a function of how much the gift is. So depending on how much it was, that's how much the guy would have eaten, because that's how much he would have been given with the special chashivas and put up on the table with the chasam and kala, you know. So all of that really, I can't give you an ironclad rule. It goes according to the amount of the shushpinut and the way that people were noyig in that place. And therefore, the deal is inish kechashivutei, each one according to what it is that his chashivut is and what it is that he would have brought into the wedding. And therefore, it's something you're going to have to analyze in Bezdin when he sues you for the shushbinut. It does somehow seem to deduct a bit from the level of pure simcha at the wedding. Tana Rabbanu. It gets even worse. Tana Rabbanu. Lamaisa asa imo bupumbi. Let's say the first guy makes this big wedding in public. There's 500 people at the wedding, okay? His shushbin wants to have a small private affair. So then the other guy could say, wait a minute, small private affairs, very difficult to get into the dancing in these affairs, you know? I don't really feel very excited about going to a small private affair. So if you want me to participate, you got to give me the milieu to participate. Where's the band? Where's the people dancing and so on? You can't expect me to act at your crummy private affair wedding the way that you were providing in my wedding where everything was given to you. Of course you danced. There were hundreds of people there. But how am I supposed to get into it? So over there, the guy can taina. You know what? I'll do exactly what you did for me. Yacholo marmo. Okay. Make a wedding like I made. So, bepumbi esay, mach kederach shasitai me. I don't like private affairs. So what are you telling me? I'm going to have to give it back the way that you give me? I don't like that. You want to give, you don't want to spend money on your wedding, but I should give the same value of gift. No way. If he asa'imo bibitula, bikesh la'asotimo ba'almana. Now this guy goes, gets married, but he gets married to an almana. I don't get into a wedding with an almana. Well, you know, well, you couldn't find yourself a young girl to marry. Well, you have to go marry an older woman. Go get married to a bitula, like I did. And then I'll come to your wedding. So then he can say, it's obviously a different milieu over here. You're not providing me that kind of joyous occasion. And the same thing would be if asa imo bishniya. How about if it's the other way around? So now this is like his first marriage. You know what? I can't give you more simcha than you gave me. So, you know, this kind of wedding, it takes too much out of me. Everybody's dancing and jumping and looking happy. I mean, I don't know. I just went through a second wedding. You know, when you do your second wedding, I'll come to that one. So, this one is overwhelming. So he can say that. Right? So he can say, look, when you get your second wife, of course, second wife in those days didn't mean his first wife has to die. He could have married a second wife. It's before, obviously, the Rabbi Gershon. So when you marry another wife, so then I'll come to that wedding. Come on, you're an accountant. You should be able to keep track here. Asa imo ba'achat, ubikesh lasot imo b'shtayim. Suppose he's marrying two. Tosfos learns it's talking about one after the other is what it means. So he wants him. He says, you know what? I'm gonna be marrying two wives. So split the simcha. You know, come to both weddings, and you'll give me a half of the gift for each one of them. I'm not going to two weddings. It's bad enough to have to go to one wedding. So that you can't ask of me. So you know, Tinami. So you could say, look, I don't go to two weddings. Okay, that's the simple way of learning it. Not that it was a wedding of two women at one point, one time, and he's the other guy saying, I don't want to participate in the simcha that takes too much out of me over here. So, but in either case, it's the same idea. So you're cholo malo be'achata, same, I'm coming to one wedding, or I'm coming to a wedding of one woman, kederek she'asita imi. So that the whole idea of this kind of shushbinut is that it is extremely a tit-for-tat situation. Afal pikein, that doesn't mean that additions are considered to be repeat. But what it means is that the part that's recoverable in court, that part is defined. The rest of it is indeed a relationship. So mamelu, you have a strange type of idea in which the whole point of the interrelationship is shushbinut, which is being a best man and making somebody happy at the wedding. And yet, because of the fact that it's given with such a commitment, since it's recoverable in court, we need to lay down very clear-cut dinim as to what's recoverable. Don't taina that means that it, therefore it's all business. V'haray, if it were all business, it would be also in repeat. So that's exactly the dual nature of this particular type of relationship. Okay, we're going over time, so we'll continue tomorrow.